Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. As Mom like to say, more life with the girlfriends.
I'd like to say more life with the girlfriends.
More life with the girlfriends.
We just want more.
I was watching TV the other day, and there's this new commercial. I think it's on the Sundance Channel. It might be in other places as well. I didn't think I was watching the Sundance when I saw it. And it's this woman who looks like she's from the 60s, you know, with her hair kind of topped and tousled, tall mm-hmm. and tousled, and mm-hmm. straight skirt, black, and makeup done right, and dancing like crazy. I'm like, you're a yaya girl. yeah, girl. And I think it was a promotion for Vegas. And I thought, that's awesome. They got the energy of it. Right,
yeah, they got the vibe. They know the yaya girl. Yeah, girls. I was a yaya girl.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
So how are you this amazing Sunday evening?
We live in the Midwest, and it's been a beautiful, beautiful
really?
September
really?
Sunday. Glory be to God. It was amazing.
I just want to keep it. Want to put it in my pocket and keep it, but I can't do that.
It was 67 degrees, sunny. The sun felt warm to the touch, but I didn't feel hot.
Mm-mm.
And just was outside most of the day.
Yes.
It was just a great day, and it's interesting. It was a beautiful day yesterday as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two things going on in my life. I have a lot of things going on in my life, but two things that are kind of been different for me. And that has been really joyful. And one is my garden. And
I know.
I cleared my garden up last week with the help of my two nieces, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And actually, they had the best time. They had their hands dirty. And my 3-year-old niece is like, you know, an animal, a butterfly. Look, an animal worm. And the little one had her hands just so dirty. And they were having a ball. And so right now what we have left are the tomato plants.
Yes.
And like you said, I have 40 tomatoes about mm-hmm. ready to turn red. But I've never had a garden before, or at least not as an adult woman. So my grandmother used to be a wonderful gardener. And I'm wondering, because the cooler nights, it's like 45 degrees, I wonder if my tomatoes won't turn red as easily.
Oh, I
don't know.
Too. I know, but here's the thing. I really literally quit buying tomatoes because they tasted funky to me.
Right, I agree.
And ours taste delicious.
I know.
They taste like old school, kicking it old school.
And they maybe have spots on them.
Yeah.
And they have to cut around little bug bites.
Yeah.
I don't care. They're so
juicy. I just
don't
know what's the difference is, but it's like to have had these beautiful tomatoes. I know you said, Mom, what did you and Dad have for dinner last night? We said, tomatoes and corn and some steak. And I was like, oh, yeah. We're living high in the hog because we got our own tomatoes. I put a little kosher salt on them and a little poppy seed dressing.
I know. I mean, I know it's got sugar in it, and that's a five-letter word.
You know what, though? I'm going to tell you, when you put the garden in, I didn't have as much faith as you did that it would still be here and still producing
mm-hmm.
and still giving such joy and pleasure. I just thought, you know what, my kid will lose interest or it won't grow. And
yeah.
But it's been truly, truly, truly delightful.
It has. And the idea that we have this, you know, in our book, The Clutterfly Effect, I think we talk about the least resistant path. there's a hard path and an easy path.
Right.
It's the easy path.
Right.
And the way I did this garden was the easy path.
Right.
I had just come upon this gentleman working at the park district where we live, and I go, what are these boxes for? Well, you can rent them for your garden. And it was like $13. And I thought, for $13, I can cultivate my little box
That's
here.
That's right. I get to try my
yes.
hand at this.
I can try my hand at this and
yes.
not feel like I'm digging up my lawn or doing
and,
this.
And, you know, and where we live in Dixon and the gardens in Oregon, but we go there literally every day
yes.
anyway.
Exactly.
For work. But so it was like to always have this place to go, to always, let's stop and pick some weeds or let's put
yes.
some water, let's, you know,
water
it.
Which you didn't need much this year because it's been raining a lot this summer. And the nice thing is that where we have our garden is there's a walking path,
yes,
wildflowers, sunflowers galore.
There's acres and acres. of sunflowers.
It has been the novelty in my summer that I've needed,
yes.
because I have been through, I want to say fallow time. Is that true? Is that
yeah.
how I want to say?
Well, I think you've been through the fire. Okay.
Yes, the fire. And this has been sweet. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, it's a little bit more aggressive, but
what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about really quick before we bring on our two guests.
Mm-hmm.
We're interviewing Kelly Bishop first. We're still in the midst of this wonderful program called Unwavering Strength, and we're interviewing authors who have volunteered a story into this book, Unwavering Strength, that comes out in a couple weeks, September
mm-hmm.
30th.
Yeah.
And it really is, it's been just... I have felt so much courage from these women and men who have shared their stories of crisis, of tragedy, of grief, and the other side of it.
The other side of it, coming through it, and the other side, and what that looks like, and what
exactly.
that feels like, and the tools and the grit and all the guts and glory that it takes to get there.
Exactly. So we're interviewing Kelly. We're interviewing Kelly Bishop first, and then at the half-hour break, we're going to be interviewing Deborah Oakland. And I can't wait to share both their stories. But I love it because both of our women tonight, this makes me happy. They each give themselves a fun title. Kelly gives herself a title of Chief Possibility Officer. And Deborah gives her title as Courage Advocate.
I love that.
I do. I love them both. And I thought these are two women I wanted to talk to, and I can't wait. And sometimes when I'm involved in their stories, I get so touched. All my emotions come out.
Right.
And we'll talk
right.
about that. But the other novelty thing that I think is less, pure fun, no productivity whatsoever. There's nothing beneficial to my next hobby right now.
What are you talking about, girlfriend?
That's my fantasy football team.
Oh, I was like, where are you going with this?
And so I promised to turn my phone off and not check because games are starting at 7:30 our time.
Uh-oh.
And I have Cutler, who's my quarterback. He's mm-hmm. the Bears. I'm from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And you better do well for me, man.
Right. And my team, Team Taco.
Yeah, Team Taco.
Better do better than last week.
Yes, because you didn't do well. But you're playing, you got mixed up with a team that you're playing against, a team that has some players that are on, what should I say?
Probation?
Probation.
Yeah. Oh, that should be good for me,
yes.
right?
Yes, it should be good for you.
Okay, good.
So I think that will work out.
I mean, something that's bad and nasty and tragic turns into good for Team Taco.
Yes. Well, it has been interesting because this has all of the, like Peterson, I think, and Ray Rice, I think his name was.
Yes.
All this conflict about abuse and domestic brutality, all that stuff has come up. And it has really brought up a lot of discussion, not for a day, but for
no, it was like 90 seconds, girlfriend.
Exactly.
But really, I think what you can, I don't want to take words out of my mouth, but you can just say violence begets violence.
I had said to my group of friends and who we do this together and my boyfriend, and we all had different views. And I said, here's the deal. What I know about the brain is that we build neurotransmitters and synapses and all this stuff, and they're in a violent sport, and it's going, it's a violent sport, and they keep doing it, and they keep getting praised by it, and then they're just supposed to turn it off. And maybe we need to give these players more support
mm-hmm.
because it might not be that easy to turn it off.
Now,
there's no justification.
No.
But
something, some kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some kind of support.
As a psychotherapist, I'm thinking therapy or something.
Exactly. I just want to see if Kelly Bishop is on the line right now. Kelly, are you there?
I'm here.
You came
on so quietly.
Our engineer was so quiet. I was... And Kelly, I don't know if I should ask you, are you part of a fantasy football team?
No, I'm not.
Lucky you. Lucky you.
Well, welcome, Kelly. So wonderful to have you this evening.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And I want to say, first of all, Kelly, your website's called inkellysworld.com, and it's inkellysworld.com. I adore your website. The energy that you have in your website is just beautiful, sweet, joyful. And Kelly, you call yourself a chief possibility officer. Did you give yourself that title? Was that given to you by someone else?
No, I gave it to myself.
That's great.
Great.
You go, girl.
And I just want to say to all of our listeners out there, I've been on Kelly's website for a long time, and you can join her website, and she has free inspirational emails that go out. I suggest doing it in kellysworld.com. Just spend some time there. You have your blog there. It's a very active website. And I just want to say, did a great job.
The energy
there.
Yeah, you did do a good job. Yes.
It's beautiful. And I can tell your personality through your website. And sometimes that's hard to see and to feel. So I really appreciate that. And I see your lovely face there in all your videos. So that's awesome. So, Kelly, you're a travel agent. You're an author. You're
chief
possibility
officer.
Thank you. And you've chosen to share with the Unwavering Strength community the story of loss, of grief that happened to you probably over a decade ago by now.
Yes, it was 12 years ago this summer.
Well, okay, and the loss of your daughter, Brittany, and I want you to tell us your story about that, but I also want to talk about how you've been able to pull happiness out of situations and how you do that. So could you tell us a little about your decision to share that story, and was it the right timing finally to do that?
Yes, and it's. I think when I reflect back over the past 12 years it's been, I was just kind of journaling that and trying to remember where things started to turn. I do want to stop here and say I'd like to thank you for acknowledging that you could feel my personality in the website, because when I was trying to develop it, I kept saying to the guys, "Do you get me yet? Do you get me yet? Do you get me yet?" And they were like, "For goodness sakes, woman." But they obviously got me.
They got you good.
And that feels good. And that website was launched on my daughter's 29th birthday, which was August 1st of this year.
Oh.
So it was just divine timing. But I was just actually this evening sitting down thinking about the chain of events that have led me to where I am now. And you don't know what's happening while you're in it, but mm-hmm. I, as you might have read, you know, I mean, I was 43 years old, and I thought, my words were, when I lost my daughter, if I'm only 43 and the best of my life is already behind me, what do I do now?
Yes.
And I think I asked the question, and something greater than myself has uncovered it slowly but surely. And the very first thing that happened was that I was invited to a seminar from, it wasn't a seminar, it was a thank you from Charming Shops. They had something called Voices, and they pulled together women from every state and that had a story to tell. And it was that was in the first few months after losing my daughter, and I immediately saw what unwavering strength was from other women that had been through all sorts of things. And then I found myself in a place where I heard a motivational speaker, and he said, it was Les Brown, and he said, you know, as he told his life story, he said, sometimes on the road of life, the highway of life, you have to pull over onto the shoulder. And that's what grief feels like. It feels like life is passing you by, but you just don't have the strength to get into the traffic. And so I did that for a long time, but slowly but surely, you know, after I had heard Les Brown speak, someone gave me a book called The Power of Positive Thinking from Norman Vincent Peale.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was The Secret, and then there were classes that I enrolled in. And, you know, initially just spending my days focusing my attention, making sure that my son was okay, was my biggest effort. And then giving time to myself and searching for answers through the words and the wisdom of people that had passed, you know, before me, had traveled the road before me. Those were the things that kind of propelled me to where I am now.
Mm. Well, I think that you can add yourself to that road as well, where people will be reading your information, your story, hearing the word that you speak and thinking, oh, thank God for Kelly, because her story got me on my journey of healing. And, you know, you have the word hope. That's the title of your story, and it stands for something. It stands for a couple different things, because on your website you have happy, optimistic, positively, positive every day. But in your story, you talk about holding only positive energy as hope.
Mm-hmm.
When could you say that really came to you?
My son had left for college and then went on to law school. And I found myself in a very sad place again, a difficult place, mm-hmm. because I really, really needed to take care of me. And I really, really did have an empty nest. And so I started, I had read The Secret, and then I found a class that Bob Proctor was a part of, and it was called Making a Million Look Small, which was an attractive thing when you've been ignoring everything else in your life and you find, you know, pieces falling apart. That sure sounded like something that I'd like to do. But more importantly, my son went to law school, and I was envious of the knowledge that he was going to gain, and I realized that I hadn't been enriching myself and my own soul, and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to grow. So I signed up for that course, and I learned a lot, again, through the books that I had read and through that course about, you know, needing to have that energy, that positive energy, and at least, you know, that energy of love, you know, that brings you the vibration that makes you feel joyful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I love acronyms, and when Brittany passed, my husband started a foundation here in our community to give teenagers a free ride home from places that they didn't feel safe or situations mm-hmm. they weren't comfortable in, and we called it BRIT, Beats Risking It, Take a Taxi, and we paid taxi rides. So I needed mine, and mine was holding only positive energy, and that was my focus.
Mm-hmm. And it goes well, because I don't know if you mentioned this already, but because Hope is your daughter's middle name.
Yes.
And I thought that was just a sweet, you know, your husband had Brit and you had Hope, and you were able to do this and celebrate her life in this pretty big way. It was a very, very touching story. You talk also, this is kind of what you're talking about right now, this taking time each morning to seek greater knowledge and understanding what was happening or what helped you breathe. And I think that's such an important point when we, after the initial shock, after time goes and there is that coming into the grief part, we're like, okay, it is time now that I have to kind of restore. I know maybe not as it was before, but come to a different place in my life.
Mm-hmm. So one of the, you know, I said I am a travel agent, and so one of the things that I use, a metaphor that I use, is that when you're on a flight and they say, you know, in case of an emergency, the oxygen masks will drop,
mm-hmm.
and you must first administer the oxygen to yourself before you can help someone else. And
absolutely,
I took that literally. And I gave myself time to administer, to learn to breathe, to, mm-hmm. again, initially scream, just mm-hmm. scream by myself or cry. And then it became reading words that gave me food for thought or comfort, and that just kept growing and moving forward.
And also, too, because I really was touched by your story as well, but you, what I love is that you're firmly convinced, you know, that we go on, that life goes on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can. I mentioned that a couple of years after Brittany had passed, you know, for a long time we couldn't do anything to her room. We just couldn't change anything. It just needed to be the way it was because we couldn't bear the thought of moving things around. And I finally found that, and I had gone into her room, and I had shifted the furniture, moved her bed, and I bought a bright new comforter, you know, something to freshen up the room. And I was at a dinner with my husband's sisters and a dear family member of theirs that they call Sis. She loves to be called Sis. And I didn't know her well. She had never been in my home. And while everybody else was in conversation, she looked across the table at me and she said, "Your angel's with you all the time, isn't she?"
Mm.
And it kind of caught me by surprise. And I said, "Yes, I believe she is," because that's mm-hmm. what I wanted to believe. And she said, "Well, she has a message for you. She loves what you've done with her room." And I knew at that moment there was no question that life goes on.
Yes.
I mean, when those things happen in your life, they really, it's just a moment to step back and going, "Wow, that's awesome."
Mm. Yeah, the family had mentioned, you know, years before, maybe when I was pregnant with Brittany, that she was an intuitive or an intuitive consultant, but I actually hadn't paid any attention because it wasn't pertinent to me then.
Right.
But when she said that, it made me wonder, and then I started asking more questions, and the answers that came, I knew to be right. And, you know, the books and the people that came into my life just kept reinforcing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love how, you know, your journey, like you said, you can see in retrospect how perfect it was. But as you tell it, it's like this beautiful flower unfolding, and it just keeps getting, you know, grander and grander and deeper. Julie and I both just had tears when we were reading it, but it ultimately is the story of hope.
It is, and when Brittany passed, I thought somebody left me this beautiful cross in our cul-de-sac. The kids had gathered and had a memorial, you know, that very night. Mm-hmm. And someone left me this beautiful cross, and it had little jewels in it, and I thought, "Oh, somebody has very deep faith. Mm-hmm. I wish I had that." Mm-hmm. And I'd love to have that. And so mm-hmm. now I say hope brought me faith, and faith gives me hope.
Yeah.
And I believe that. I believe that you, when you ask for strength and when you ask for when you ask for some comfort, it comes in many different ways, but mm-hmm. you have to be aware of it.
I thought it was very poignant, Kelly, that, you know, that you chose to change, that you bought a new comforter. You know, mm-hmm. that I thought that was just, you know, okay, I'm changing up. I'm offering myself more comfort, a new comfort. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't lost on me when you wrote that you had changed the comforter.
I think it was important also that I could feel Brittany, and she loved, you know, bright new things, and she was a very joyful, sassy, loving person, and she, I think she would have wanted me to do that. I knew she wouldn't want me to stay in a sad place and in a stuck place, and that she'd want me to have something new and fresh. So,
and I thought it was lovely in your story when you talked about, I mean, I could tell that you were open to the kindness that people wanted to give to you. I could tell, and sometimes when those moments of grief happen, our initial reaction might be to hide or
pull
get
away.
Smaller, pull away. And I could feel in your when you're repeating the story that you really allowed yourself to be open. And I think it I don't know if you're aware of this, but it probably did help everyone around you to start the healing process as well. Did you feel that it was you need to be open to the people around you for compassion?
There were a couple of things. I got cards in the mail from people I didn't know, and not even from the area necessarily. Cards with people praying for me, and I wasn't quite sure what a prayer was until then, and it took me a little while to understand that that was a way someone could send me energy to kind of buoy me. And and obviously, I must have been open to it because I was grateful for that. I found it interesting, and then I thought, wow, there's something here at work, and that's what must be called a prayer. And, you know, I'd heard of prayer circles and people keeping you in their prayers, and I began to understand it because I thought there's no way I could do that on my own.
Yes, and I know we're getting. I know our time is getting close to being over with our interview here. But you also talk about some other things that you've really believed or learned from this experience.
Yes.
And one thing that I thought was just beautiful, you said faith erases fear. And when I sat with that sentence a lot, because I've been working with faith a lot in my own journey, and if faith erases fear, and it hit me so strong, and I wanted to say thank you for putting those two together. Because sometimes we say, well, love is the opposite of fear. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. Faith erases fear. So thank you very much for doing that. Before I ask you our final question, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience about Brittany, about your journey and so forth?
A few weeks ago, it occurred to me, not that I didn't know it before or it wasn't in my somewhere lodged in the back of my mind, but Brittany never slept in the dark. She always had a light on. She had either the light from her television or the light in her closet. And I feel like Brittany is with me saying, shine a little light, Mom. Shine a little light. Tell people it's okay.
Yeah.
And that's where the website comes from.
Yes. Yes. And the website, in, I mean, repeat it again for, I don't want to do it wrong here. It's inkellysworld.com. And Kelly is K-E-L-L-I-E-S, inkellysworld.com. And
it has the best energy.
And for just coming out in August on Brittany's birthday, I can really feel your energy, and that's what I know your journey is about, is your energy, your positive energy, holding only positive energy for the word hope. That's awesome. I want to say thank you so much, Kelly, for being on Life with a Girlfriend tonight and sharing your story.
And I want to say thank you for being that chief positive officer and knighting yourself that, because the world needs it. The world needs it desperately right now.
And I also want to just change the subject one second before I let you go, Kelly. I love the fact that you're a travel agent and that you love to travel, because you don't hear that very often anymore. And what has been, let's say, in the last 4 years, what's the one place that you say you got to go there?
Wow. People always ask me, what's the most popular spot? But I would say, everyone loves Italy. If I had to, if I could send everybody to Italy once, you know, that's always, it's always something that people love. And I have to say that probably one of the reasons is it's just such a romantic country. So if you talk about love, it's the language, it's the love of life, that zest for life that you know, the Italians have, that I think is such a draw.
Mm. Well, my mama is Italian. I'm half Italian.
I echo that too, because I mean, there's this, you know, for example, there's just you sit and you, when you eat, you truly, you know, enjoy your food. You take the time, you know, and I can remember, you know, like there would be like if you had clothes, you didn't have a closet full of clothes. You had, you know, two or three really wonderful, excellent suits that really, you know, it looked great. And I just, I love that, what you said. That's what I love about Italy.
And I can't wait to enjoy the romanticism of it as well. Someday I will go. Kelly Bishop, thank you for being a Life of the Girlfriends. Have a wonderful night. And I can say, everyone, please go to her website. Sign up for, join for her inspirational messages and so forth.
Oh, I agree. And also, when the book comes out, Unwavering Strength, please, you can pre-order it. You can get it September 30th. It's truly a treasure. It's a one of a kind book, and I'm so happy and delighted that you chose to be authentic and vulnerable enough to tell your story, Kelly.
Well, I feel very humble and honored to be part of the Unwavering Strength journey and being an ambassador with the other authors. I haven't met them all yet, and I'm looking forward to meeting them very soon.
Yes,
I've been listening
right.
to their stories and reading their stories myself, and, you know, there's just a lot of richness and healing there.
There really is, because you know, I'm going to be in the next one, but just the caliber of people like yourself and the ones that we've interviewed in these last couple months has been amazing. So I hope everyone goes to unwaveringstrength.com and orders the book or pre-orders it.
I do too.
Thank you so much, Kelly. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Kelly.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh, thank you.
Ah, lovely. Lovely. And now we're about ready to take our break, and we will come back, and we will talk with Deborah Oakland and talk about her story of how she was able to, her journey with grief and so forth. So I'm looking forward to that. So everyone, we'll be right back. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends.
All right, more so I'd like to say more Life with the Girlfriends. I'm Christine Marie, and you're
Julie.
My daughter, Julie.
Yes, I am. I'm your daughter, Julie. And we're talking with Deborah Oakland. And Deborah Oakland, I love what she described herself as, a courage advocate. And as you can imagine, as we've been interviewing authors from the Unwavering Strength book, that's the one thing you can see come through is courage. And no one's claimed it yet. So, Deborah, I'm glad you claimed it for yourself, that you're the courage advocate.
Thank you. It's my title.
Yes. And your story is called Living in Courage, and you're not in this first book. You're actually in the second book, but you wrote a little bit. We talk about you in a little bit in the end of the first book, and your story's in the second book. And what I really what I really felt from your story, first off, how open you were about your journey, and how, I'm going to say this, I don't know if it's true or not, I think I know you from your story and from your website, but you really are an old soul. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Okay.
I think so too.
I felt this level of like you've been here before, and that I know where to, how to move through this, and
right.
I can.
Now, this is not my first rodeo.
Yes, it is not your first rodeo. And actually, I love your quote: "Courage can take us to the deepest part of our soul, where we find levels of reserve we did not know we had." Deborah said this. Deborah Oakland, our author. And
yeah,
it really, your story really shows that if you're open to it, this can be one of the biggest growth of your growing experiences of your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Could you share a little bit of your story with us, Deborah?
Sure. In a six-year period of time, which flew by but seemed to last forever, at the same time, I know you know what I mean.
Yes.
I lost both my children, my 21-year-old son, my baby girl at birth, and both my brothers to AIDS and my father to prostate cancer. So...
Yes.
We took care of my brother's part of the time, and my father, my family, and luckily we're all very spiritually inclined,
I would
say. And it brought us closer together versus tearing us apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we all came together, and we still do. I mean, there's really no men left in our family, just my nephew. You know,
mm-hmm.
And they're all gone.
Wow.
So this was just, it was such a powerful period of time because you're going through this loss, and when you've never lost anybody before, you go through shock, which is another, I mean, that's another, she can write a book on being in shock.
Right.
I've never felt that before. And the events of that day afterwards were quite interesting in themselves, and it would take too long to tell it here. But it's my son, I knew he was 21, and it was very clear after we got the phone call that he was killed in by a drunk driving accident in Canada by a drunk driver. It was very clear that he was basically, if he was to be here, he would be here. And he'd gone on a different journey. And I understood that. Most people did not understand that I understood that.
Right.
They had a real problem with the fact that if you're not here, we're the soul, we're not this body, then we've gone somewhere else. We're not gone. We're just not inhabiting this body anymore. And I understood that on a very deep level. But people don't, for the most part, understand that to the level that I did. I grew up with those beliefs. So it was very hard for a lot of people, and I had to basically soothe other people because they were having such a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that however you react with it is how people react. If you break down and cry, they cry. If you're strong, they're strong. They support you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to deal with it with my husband and I. We dealt with it on our own privately.
Right.
Not publicly. But the events that led up to just my son's passing alone were a book in itself.
You alluded to, like, there was, I want to call it foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was during the Christmas party, when your son is 21 years old and you guys all met for Christmas. And...
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. How long after his passing did these memories come back? Like, wait, well, this is interesting.
The day of.
Mm.
He was in my mother's. We were in Colorado at my mom's kitchen, and he said to my mother, he said, "Grandma, I'm not supposed to be here." And she said, "What do you mean? We love having you here." He goes, "No, on this earth." He goes, "I'm not supposed to be here."
Mm-hmm.
And we spent 8 days talking about everything we could ever want to discuss. I mean, everything. But most of it was spirituality and what happens when you die. He asked me a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been told before, after he passed, and I don't know if this is true, that he was going to leave when he was 14. He was going to leave when he was a lot younger, but because he felt that I needed him there because I was losing my brothers and all these other things were happening, that he waited. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But it was an incredible journey, and I ended up at an event that day, the day he passed, because he was in Canada and I couldn't leave, and there's nothing I could do, at an event with Cryon, speaking about the loss of children because of me, sitting behind Louise Hay.
Whoa.
Incredible. Incredible.
Whoa.
And then it goes on. I mean, the stories go on about the healing and the all of it. It was just incredible. And that's just one story. But,
you know, you also
I
talk
think
about
of them every day. Every day. There's not a day goes by. I don't think of them. I love them. But they're no more gone than I am. I can't see them. We're in a lower density vibrational frequency.
Right.
But they're just...
That's your old soul coming through. I love it. You can put that... You have a different... you have a different perspective. And I think that's why I was with someone the other day, and they were talking about how they're just not grieving right. You know, they need to grieve harder. It's going to hit them, or it's going to come later. And I thought, we don't really know, because we don't know what their belief system is. We don't know what their journey's been or how they feel. And there are times when I'm connecting with a loved one or that has passed, and all of a sudden, like, holy cow, they feel right here with me. They feel here.
Yeah.
And if you believe that, your response may not be the same as someone who may not believe that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I have a belief system. And for me, I say, this works for me.
Yes.
If yours doesn't work, find a new one. But it works for me. Even if it's not true at the end of the day when I'm gone, I don't care. It worked for me and it pulled me while I'm here.
Yes.
But I know it's true. You know, I lost my best friend, my husband and I. We lost our best friend a year ago, just almost a year ago. And the things that happen almost on a daily basis, it's so wonderful. Oh, my gosh. She's no more gone than we are.
Yes.
And that takes a lot for people to wrap their head around, especially people that don't have the same belief system.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very careful with people, because when they grieve, a lot of times, after a great amount of time grieving, it's about them. It's not about the person that passed.
Right.
And that's a very delicate subject.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so curious, Deborah. Give me a few things about. I'm feeling it right now about your friend. Tell me some of the things that that you went. Oh, she's here. Oh, okay, I get it. Okay, honey. You know.
Oh, Kelly's powerful. She went down, and she went to the East Coast to work with her mother, who had a brain aneurysm and wasn't taking care of herself. So she went out there, planted a galactic garden, which she created here in our living room on her table with crystals that she purified in the ocean across the street, created this galactic garden, went out and grew a garden out there faster than anyone had ever seen. And she had a brain aneurysm in the garden. I was told she took it from her mother. She massive brain aneurysm, and she was in a coma a week, but she left. And I went down to her Hooga Booga spot across the street at the beach to look for souls and meditate. And I was walking to it, and big feathers, long feathers, would appear before my feet. And I pick them up. I keep picking them up. And I got over to her spot, and I said, oh, man, you know, the best thing would be is if I found a piece of green sea grass, because she knows I love sea grass.
Oh,
I sat down on her rock where she sat, and I looked down to the left, and there was a piece of green sea grass. Everywhere I go, the feathers have grown smaller but more beautiful and gorgeous little designs. I have a bag full. These feathers appear before my feet when she wants my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to T. Harv Eker's Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, and we used to find pennies, and we go, thank you, thank you, thank you. I have a millionaire mind. I love you, universe. And everywhere I go now, there's two pennies. On her birthday, I didn't hear from her, and I'm sitting in my closet, and a handbag she handmade for me. She was a master jeweler, And this handbag, which was named after me, fell directly in my lap, and it's never fallen in the 3 years it's been there. It was wrapped around something. It fell directly in my lap, and I heard, look inside. I looked inside. There's two pennies.
Oh, my God.
That was the day that she... one was the day on her birthday, and one was the day that was on the day she passed.
That is amazing.
Something else. Two pennies in this little thing that I didn't know were there again. And then I went to the Sawdust Festival. She loved it, pennies. I mean, and then I contacted her cousin, and she said, oh, pennies have been appearing, two pennies. It's incredible. But she's always around. I can feel her.
Yes.
I can feel her energy all the time. And I keep thinking she's going to walk in the door.
I keep I'm feeling it, too, as you're talking about it. I almost feel like... like, you know, people talk about orbs, and uh-huh. I can see, like, if you took a photograph or something, that there'd be an orb in there, and it would be, you know, her trying to contact you.
Oh, yes. And she was amazing. I mean, just, I can't even tell you, but I was told she left the planet very quickly and is coming back extremely fast as a little boy to teach sacred geometry. And to teach people to grow these specific gardens in the shape of sacred geometry. So if you ever hear of a little boy, in the next few years, it's teaching sacred geometry in gardens. And around gardens, it may be Kelly.
That's awesome.
I like the idea of the galactic garden. That just sounds...
Oh, I love it.
Fabulous.
You know, the last time I saw her... she gave me something I've been asking for years for my birthday. She looked at me, and I love that smile. And then she said, do you want to open it now? And I said, yeah. And then she stayed two more days than she was going to. She goes, I just feel I can't leave you right now. And then she walked out. And when she walked out and rolled her little jewelry thing and her luggage out of place, she stopped, and she never stopped. She turned around and looked me in the eyes so deeply and said, I love you, and walked off. And that's the last time I saw her. She knew. I mean, she knew.
I love you.
And she had that week in that coma to decide if she was going to come back or not. And it would have been too difficult, you know, financially and with her body and with the family. Mm-hmm. And she left. And wherever she is, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's just happy, happy.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about in your story, too. You talk about life is a matter of making choices and decisions that carry us forward or take us back into a past that we can't change.
Yeah.
And through your story and just hearing you talk now and your energy.
Yeah, amazing energy.
I hear you choose life. I hear you choose present, life, future.
And I hear, I'm gonna just say this. I hear that you are a fabulous multidimensional worker, honey.
Yes.
Yeah. She agrees, Mom.
Well, we're here. We're in all these other dimensions and other frequencies at the same time we're here. And there's other aspects of ourselves, which is really big for people to wrap their head around.
Yes.
This is not the only place we exist. And we are here to heal all of those aspects of ourselves now.
Yes.
To bring them all back. Center back to one.
I think your family must have been. I just had this feeling when I was reading that your family was really cool. I thought, you know, I just felt like your mom and dad were cool, and and you know, all the brothers. You know, they were in the arts, and just must have, and then you had all these. I could just, you know, I'm an animal lover. And you had all these animals growing up around you. It must have been just I don't know, just heaven.
Oh, yes. It was wonderful. And, you know, I think of them all the time, and I carry them in my heart as a gift. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that I had the time that I had with them. But I'm also really happy for them for whatever the next journey they're on, traveling the expanse of the universe.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's exciting.
Yeah. It really
I'm happy for them.
Yeah, it feels like you have this detached love. This unconditional detached love, like, I love you so much, but you're going on your own journey, and I'm excited for you. And
yeah, and I'm willing to let you go because it's your journey, not mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Not mine.
Another quote I want to bring up to you real quickly in your story. I love this line. It's a quote from actually Sheila Marie Bethel, and it's about being courageous. One of the most courageous things you can do is identify yourself, know who you are, what you believe in, and where you want to go. And I read that, and I thought, well, this is a coincidence. Because my mom, this morning we were talking, and she said, Julie Marie Peters, I'm telling you right now, I know who I am. I know that, yes, I am competitive, and I also have a huge heart. I am very caring and loving, and damn it, God created me this way. I got to be okay.
Yep. You got to be okay. You know what? You know what I just heard? I just watched Steve Harvey on Oprah, just the beginning of it, and he said something that I love so much. He said, there's the two most important moments in our life and what is when we're born and the moment we find out why.
I love it.
That's great. And you know why you were born. I know why I was born. One of the main reasons we're born is to connect to our higher self.
Yes.
And to allow that higher self and that aspect of ourselves, which the higher self in me and the God in me is the God in you. It's not different. It's
right.
not a different God in all of us. It's the same.
Yes.
And when we take power and ownership over that, there's nothing that can stop us.
Mm-hmm.
So get out there and kick some ass, you know? Do what you can do.
Why, I'm gonna.
It's time for goddesses. We're not supposed to sit around and cower. It's our turn. It's our time.
It's right. We're singing Diana Ross's song, It's My Turn Now, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's our turn.
It is. And
on my website, I've got about 98 quotes so far. I'm going to get up to 101 and put an ebook together of all my quotes.
And your website is livingencourageonline.com.
Online.com. And then I have a free ebook on labeling each other. It's a short little 25-page ebook. And then I have a monthly newsletter that comes out every month. And Peggy McCall is actually my guest this month in my October issue.
Oh, wonderful.
That's great.
I have fabulous people in my newsletter every month. It's just fun.
And you mentioned the Millionaire Mindset Group, didn't you?
I used to go to T. Harv Eker seminars. One of my best friends and my web guy actually worked for T. Harv for years, kind of running a lot of things behind the scenes, him and his partner, his girlfriend. And you know, so we went to several of the conferences, quite a few of the conferences, and that's how I met my web guy, and we became like closest friends, Lenny Appelquist and Elizabeth LaPrade, and they do all our web work, and you know, my book's going through some final edits now, and it'll be published in 2015.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that's going to be fun, because it's not about my story, it's about how I got through it.
Yes.
And I do some really
Absolutely.
Fun with it, a little unusual. So I'm not really unveiling it yet.
No.
Oh, good. Oh, cool.
Well,
I can't wait.
I was telling Mom, I said, your story reminds me of that one Bible passage about going through the valley of, Mom, what is it?
Darkness?
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow
the valley of
death.
And then
we always like to say, and yet we're not going to build a home there. We're just going to keep walking.
And you don't build a home there. You know,
think about plants. You know, you put your seed under the earth in the darkness, and it's nurtured. You nurture it until it bursts through into the light and becomes all it can be from this tiny seed that starts in the darkness.
Yes. I love it. Well, Kelly, Deborah, thank you so much for this interview.
I think Kelly was here, though.
Yes, Kelly was here.
I think she was. You know, Kelly. Oh, Kelly's a force to be reckoned with. I mean, we're both, I'm like a triple Leo with seven signs in Leo, and she's like, she's Leo. All my friends are Leos. Cancers and Leos, it's like the whole month of July is like 20 birthdays. So
I can imagine. You turn your calendar, you go, oh my gosh.
I got a party, it's July. Just leave it alone.
Deborah, I want you to come back on when your new book comes out, or actually just an invite anytime. I can just feel we just scratched the surface with you.
Oh, yeah. And I love, I work, you know, universal laws and principles. I mean, that's what my book's about.
That's amazing. Yeah,
I can feel that.
We're your girls. We're your girls.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm here.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you, Deborah, so much for being on Life of the Girlfriend.
Welcome. Thank you for inviting me. It's so awesome to meet you, girls.
Yes, we enjoyed
it. Our pleasure. LivingEncourageOnline.com is the website, LivingEncourageOnline.com. Now, Deborah's got a short story in the first book that comes out the end of September for Unwavering Strength, but then she has her full story in the second book that comes out. I'm not sure when that comes out.
I don't either, but I'm going to be in the second one as well.
Yes.
Oh, are you?
Yes, yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of people I brought on to be in the second book. And it's just, it's such an amazing group of people. I mean, Judy has just done an incredible job. And it's just, it's a beautiful collaboration and people that come together with these courageous hearts with unwavering strength just makes such a difference in the world, and that's what we're here to do.
You bet. The community is just really awesome, and, you know, just the interviews that we've done, just the caliber and the, you know, the willingness to be transparent and to just, you know, lay it all out so that, you know, just one person, you know, can be helped. It's amazing. So thank you so much, Deborah. We enjoyed
it. Person. Yes. Thank you. I was going to say, if it helps one person, we did our job.
You know it.
We did.
You know
one
it.
One person makes a difference. Yes.
It does.
Thank
it
you.
Really does.
It's so fun.
Thank you. You're very welcome. Have a great night and a great Sunday night. And if you're a football fan, go back to watching the game.
Oh, no, I got to go celebrate a birthday now.
Yay, another birthday. Yay.
Another birthday.
Thanks, Deborah.
Okay.
Have a great night.
Bye.
I love it.
Yeah, so she was talking about how hot it is in California, huh?
Yes, and we've had to, I mean, I have to say, we talk about if we had a chance to live anywhere in the world, where would we want to live? And the truth is, I love living in the Midwest.
I know. Well,
I
where we're at. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the seasons. Yeah. Sometimes the winters get a little long.
Yeah.
Especially last winter, just the snow kept coming, and we were in that.
But
oh,
wasn't Deborah awesome though?
Yes.
I just could feel the energy just, you know, coming through the lines. It was just awesome.
Yes.
We had two great guests tonight with Kelly Bishop and with Deborah Oakland. So we've just been blessed.
And it was interesting because reading both her stories, when we were doing it together and prepping for the show, I had tears just coming down my, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was touched in such a deep way, and
yes.
my emotions were just everywhere.
Yeah. You got surprised, didn't you?
I got surprised.
You got surprised. That's so great.
I feel uplifted and inspired and energized.
And like we just say, you know, you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't have to build your house fair or your garage or anything else, girlfriend.
Exactly.
Just keep
exactly.
on walking. So what? I have one last word to say.
Yes, go for it.
It was great.
It was great?
It was great.
Awesome, and it was great. Have a great weekend, everyone. Go to theclutterflyeffect.com or christinemarieandjulie.com or just email us at talktous@christinemarieandjulie.com.
Yeah, we love your feedback.
See you next weekend, next Sunday. Bye-bye.
It was great. It was great.